Over the next several days, there was a strained, tightly wound quality to the way they treated each other, a rigid correctness that was enforced by repetitive acts of willpower. To look at them from a distance, Rat said, you'd think they were the happiest two people on the planet. They spent the long afternoon sunbathing together, stretched out side by side on top of their bunker, or playing backgammon in the shade of a giant palm tree, or just sitting quietly. A model of togetherness, it seemed. And yet, at close range, their faces showed the tension. Too polite, too thoughtful. Mark Fossey tried hard to keep up a self-assured pose, as if nothing had ever come between them, or ever could. But there was a fragility to it, something tentative and false. If Marianne happened to move a few steps away from him, even briefly, he'd tighten up and force himself not to watch her. But then a moment later, he'd be watching. In the presence of others, at least, they kept on their masks. Over meals, they talked about plans for a huge wedding in Cleveland Heights, a 2-day bash, lots of flowers. And yet, even then, their smiles seemed too intense. They were too quick with their banter. They held hands as if afraid to let go. It had to end. And eventually, it did. Near the end of the third week, Fossey began making arrangements to send her home. At first, Rat said, Marianne seemed to accept it. But then after a day or two, she fell into a restless gloom, sitting off by herself at the edge of the perimeter. She wouldn't speak, shoulders hunched, her blue eyes opaque. She seemed to disappear inside herself. A couple of times Fossey approached her and tried to talk it out, but Marianne just stared out at the dark green mountains to the west. The wilderness seemed to draw her in. A haunted look, Rat said, partly terror, partly rapture. It was as if she had come up to the edge of something, as if she were caught in that no-man's land between Cleveland Heights and the deep jungle. 17 years old, just a child, blonde and innocent. But then weren't they all? The next morning she was gone. The 6 greenies were gone, too. In a way, Rat said, poor Fossey expected it, or something like it, but that didn't help much with the pain. The kid couldn't function. The grief took him by the throat and squeezed and wouldn't let go. Lost, he kept whispering. It was nearly 3 weeks before she returned. But in a sense, she never returned. Not entirely, not all of her. By chance, Rat said, he was awake to see it. A damp, misty night, he couldn't sleep, so he'd gone outside for a quick smoke. He was just standing there, he said, watching the moon, and then off to the west, a column of silhouettes appeared as if by magic at the edge of the jungle. At first, he didn't recognize her. A small, soft shadow among 6 other shadows. There was no sound, no real substance either. The 7 silhouettes seemed to float across the surface of the earth like spirits, vaporous and unreal. As he watched, Rat said, it made him think of some weird opium dream. The silhouettes moved without moving. Silently, one by one, they came up the hill, passed through the wire, and drifted in a loose file across the compound. It was then, Rat said, that he picked out Marianne's face. Her eyes seemed to shine in the dark, not blue, though, but a bright, glowing jungle green. She didn't pause at Fossey's bunker. She cradled her weapon and moved swiftly to the Special Forces hooch and followed the others inside. Briefly, a light came on and someone laughed. Then the place went dark again.